It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. For well over 150 years, debtors' prisons have been illegal in the United States. But that restriction only applies to private debts. In practice, public fines and court debts can be another story. In a study published last fall, between 25 and 2018, 8,000 residents of Wisconsin were jailed each year for failure to pay those kind of fines and debts. Our next guest will walk us through the causes and consequences of what some people are calling modern-day debt imprisonment in our justice system. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever spent time in jail for failing or being unable to pay a traffic fine or a court fee? Have you been threatened with jail time but found a way to pay? Do you have questions about this process? Do you think people should spend time behind bars for failure to pay these fees and fines? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. John Gross is a clinical associate professor of law at the University of Wisconsin Law School and director of the Public Defender Project. John, welcome to Central Time.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Before we turn to these public debts and fines and fees, you read old time stuff, people end up in debtors' prisons all the time way back in the day. Can you talk about the legal landscape now when it comes to private debt? In general, people don't end up in prison for that.
That's correct. We no longer rely on debtors' prisons. We have bankruptcy proceedings. The same is not always true in criminal courts. There's a lot of mandatory fees and fines that are imposed on people. People often have to pay costs associated with their own probationary sentence, their own monitoring. And if people don't pay some of those fees and fines, they can find themselves back in court and threatened with imprisonment.
Can you talk about the variety of either fines, I think include traffic tickets, and court fees that end up being part of this story?
Sure. There's a lot of different costs associated with even a minor trip through the criminal system, the criminal legal system. If you get a ticket, there are all sorts of fees and fines associated with it. Those fines and fees go to different government agencies. If you wind up being convicted of a crime, there are often mandatory court costs imposed. The state can actually charge you fees. If you had a lawyer appointed to your case, they can demand that you pay restitution. And so there's many, many different ways that people can find themselves with debt associated with everything from a relatively minor traffic ticket to a more serious charge that's adjudicated in a criminal court.
Talk us through then what leads to having those fines or court fees in place and then ending up in jail. As I mentioned, a report found 8,000 Wisconsinites per year, roughly over a long period, ending up in jail.
So the legislature has elected to impose mandatory fees when people are convicted of crimes, with the idea that it's both sort of a punishment, but also a way to help fund the criminal justice system that is adjudicating these cases. And so, and oftentimes those fees are not nominal, they're not minimal, they can be $400, $500, or $600. And most people in the country can't afford an emergency payment of more than $500. So people find themselves in debt to the court. Some courts, I think, smartly don't try to enforce that debt. But others do, and they do by issuing a warrant to have the person arrested for non-payment and brought back before a judge.
Are they then subject to more court fees since they're appearing in court again?
This can often lead to a cycle of debt. This is especially true of traffic offenses where, if you get a fine or a fee for speeding and you don't pay it, your license will then be suspended. And to get your license reinstated, you'll have to pay additional fees. And if you get another ticket, there's additional fees on that because now you have a suspended license and you're maybe still driving because you have to get to work or pick up your kids. And so people can really get caught in this spiral of debt related to just really minor infractions. Traffic tickets can lead to sizable debts for folks. And it winds up being a sort of hole that they can't dig themselves out of.
So if I, say, owe a court $500, just pick a number, and I can't pay it for whatever reason, so it goes through this process, I'm back in court, I'm sent to jail, what happens then? Is the fine waived? Is it per day you waive so much? What happens to my debt whilst I'm sitting in jail?
So I should say that before a judge can jail someone for non-payment of a fine, a fee, a court cost, or restitution, a judge first has to make a determination about whether or not the person actually can pay. Because we don't have debtors' prisons. And the problem arises when judges, frankly, don't do this. You can imprison someone who willfully fails to pay a debt owed to the court. It's a form of contempt of court. But if the person doesn't have the money, the Constitution and the Supreme Court has made it very clear, you can't put the person in jail. But oftentimes people don't know that. People don't have lawyers representing them because they're too poor to pay the fine. And judges don't always take the time to figure this out. And so people can indeed sit in jail when a judge has ordered that if the fine is paid, they'd be released. But there's no one to pay the fine.
Talking to John Gross, Clinical Associate Professor of Law at the University of Wisconsin Law School, Director of the Public Defender Project, talking about what some call, in effect, a modern-day system of debt imprisonment. But when it comes to debts for courts and fines, you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions based on what you've heard so far or opinions? Maybe you've got an experience of your own to share. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. John, is there an official guideline or system for saying, okay, how do we assess whether this person is capable of paying these fines?
It's really incumbent upon a judge before resorting to incarcerating someone to question the person about their financial circumstances and to try to determine if they can pay something. Anything, or can they be put on a payment plan? Or in other instances, judges can sometimes simply substitute an alternative to payment of money, such as like community service, that they could resentence the person to do community service instead of having to pay a fine. And it's just a sort of common sense determination about whether or not somebody has the means to pay. And you know, inquiring about, are they employed? Do they have debts? Do they have dependents that they support? But without going through that, as I said, sometimes courts will just resort to imprisoning the person or issuing some type of a warrant for their arrest, which often leads to them being held in custody before they can see a judge who makes a determination that they can't pay this.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Rembrandt is with us in Sun Prairie. Rembrandt, hi.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Your guest mentioned that, okay, somebody can't pay, they get thrown in jail. How long do they stay there? Is it like 7 days and it's mandatory to let them go? Just curious.
Yeah, Rembrandt, I don't know if there's one specific answer to that, John. Does it vary? How long do people in jail in this situation end up staying in jail?
It really depends on the judge, because if a judge sentences someone, or it's not really a sentence, but if they commit someone to jail and say the person has this many days in jail or until the fine is paid, right? So a judge can say 3 days in jail, or if you pay the $500, you can get out. And that's typically the way a judge would structure it. Some jurisdictions will give you credit, a certain amount of money toward the debt you owe for every day that you spend in jail, which is, of course, sort of backwards because the local jail is actually paying to keep you in jail. So the attempt to recover money from the person actually leads to the county just spending more money in an effort to recover a debt that they're never going to be able to recover.
Thanks a lot for that call. Jeff joins us now in Superior. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good afternoon. My response to this is under the umbrella of personal responsibility. I think people who are guilty of nonviolent crimes know that they're breaking the law and they must pay the consequences. Therefore, I wish the state of Wisconsin would give an option to the offenders to work off their fine. For example, you go 80 and a 55 and you get a $172 fine. Maybe you could work 5 hours picking up garbage along the highway. Or something like that. I'd like to see something like that, because then we would have a responsibility toward our, you know, society.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. John, you mentioned that some judges might, in fact, assign a community service project like that as an alternative.
Yes, judges often do look for those alternatives and those options, community service being one of them when somebody can't afford to pay the fine and maybe they're not working. So a judge says, all right, well, then, you know, you have time to do community service. And that's the way they discharge their debt.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. We're talking to John Gross, Clinical Associate Professor of Law at the UW Law School, Director of the Public Defender Project, talking with him about causes and consequences of people being jailed for non-payment of public fines and court fees. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced this yourself or has a family member? If you've worked as a lawyer, have you defended or prosecuted someone for the offense of failure to pay? Has a client of yours been in this situation? Join in with your thoughts, experiences, questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up the conversation with John Gross, Clinical Associate Professor of Law at the UW Law School, Director of the Public Defender Project, talking with him about challenges facing low-income people in the court system, including potentially jail time for failure to pay things like fines and court fees in Wisconsin and around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Michael is with us now in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for talking about this. I think this is something that doesn't frequently get, or a lot of people are unaware of. I just wanted to share, I haven't ended up being personally jailed for a debt owed, thankfully, though I know people who have. But I just wanted to echo the experience of it being so easy to end up trapped in this sort of cycle where maybe you have a small parking ticket that you can't afford. It's an extra expense you're already scraping by, and that turns into a slightly larger parking ticket, which then turns into your plates getting suspended, which then turns into, you know, you still have to pick your kid up from school, and you end up for a ticket for driving while suspended, and then you have to pay that on top of everything else, and it just very quickly becomes a situation that is even harder to get out of than the one you were in previously, where it was a, you know, $20 parking ticket that you couldn't pay.
Michael, thanks a lot for the call. John, that refers back to something you mentioned about this cycle of public debt potentially increasing, snowballing. Is there a better way? Is there a solution to that happening where people are still held accountable, but don't end up with what could be seen as an excessive punishment for a traffic fee or a parking fee or what have you?
Well, I think one important aspect of this is that, you know, legislatures and courts should not expect courts to be self-funding, right? They shouldn't impose additional fees on people in addition to a fine that is supposedly, you know, deterring the conduct, but also imposing, you know, excessive surcharges and fees to basically help run the court at minimal expense. The other idea that people often bring up here is to have a sliding scale for fees. Obviously, if somebody is, two people are pulled over for speeding, one of them, as the caller just described, is just scraping by on minimum wage. The other one happens to be a doctor. Should they pay the same fine? Well, the fine won't deter the doctor from speeding down Main Street if he can pay it easily, but it might be too much for the other person to pay, and they might get trapped in debt. So, you know, calibrating the fine or the sanction to the person's actual means could be a good solution to this problem.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Mary is with us in La Crosse, I think, with thoughts along those lines. Mary, hi.
Hi, yes, I was actually, that's exactly what I was calling about, was wondering how much thought had been put into something like paying according to your ability to repay.
Mary, thanks a lot for the call. Are there legal obstacles there? John, I could see if I'm the doctor in your scenario saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm not getting equal justice if I'm getting paid more than that other person who doesn't have to make as much money. This is unfair.
Well, I would look at it from sort of the opposite perspective, right? The idea of a fine is that it will deter people from engaging in the conduct. And I think that's, we don't treat criminal offenses like, you know, speeding or going through a red light as criminal, but we want to discourage them. So the fine or the sanction really needs to be tailored to what would deter the conduct. And for someone who's making minimum wage, maybe a $50 fine is enough of a deterrent, but somebody making $150,000 a year, not so much. So the idea would, again, be to really tailor the sanction to something that would be meaningful for that person. And I think that really, for most people, I think that would be equal justice.
Thanks again for that call, Mary. John Gross is with us from the UW Law School and the Public Defender Project, looking at people being jailed in some cases, about 8,000 people a year in Wisconsin for non-payment, sometimes inability to pay court fees and public fines. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234. John, I want to dig into a related issue that you've mentioned a couple times, public defenders. I think there's an assumption like, okay, you're in court, you're a defendant, you can't afford a lawyer, one will be provided for you, but will it? How does the court system determine, okay, you can't afford a lawyer of your own, so here you go, public defender?
So most states have indigency guidelines, which is basically a formula or a number that says, if you make more than this, you presumably don't qualify for a public defender. If you make less, you do. And not all states have those numbers calibrated very well. I can tell you that in Wisconsin, the threshold for eligibility is set right around the federal poverty guidelines, and that is very low. So basically, there's a lot of people in Wisconsin, for example, who would be eligible for home heating assistance under federal programs, but Wisconsin would tell them that they're not eligible for a public defender. And the other problem with this, where we see really these issues, this snowballing effect come, is that, you know, for many minor offenses like traffic, people aren't in danger of going to jail, so they don't get appointed a public defender, even if they're too poor to hire a lawyer. And so it isn't until much later, when they owe large amounts of debt and a judge is threatening them with putting them in jail, that a lawyer becomes involved and should be appointed to the case. But by then, they've already accrued the debt, and it's kind of too late to unring the bell.
Do you have thoughts on how Wisconsin could revise that system? Is there another state that you would point to and say, yeah, we should do it that way?
Well, I think the best thing for the Wisconsin legislature would be to not really dictate this on a statewide basis, because your ability to hire a lawyer depends not just on your own financial means, but it also depends on the seriousness of the charge and whether or not there are lawyers in that area who can represent you and are willing to represent you that you can hire. So it's a difficult determination to make about who should be getting appointed lawyers and who shouldn't be. And so it's really something that doesn't do well with a cookie cutter, one size fits all approach. I think Wisconsin would be better served by giving judges and the public defender's office more flexibility in making these determinations and allowing them to consider the sort of economic realities of the place where the person is being prosecuted.
That sounds like it leaves a lot at the discretion of a local judge then, and Judge A might have a very different standard than Judge B in the same court or in different parts of the state.
That is true, and that is certainly a concern. But I think people should be aware that the vast majority of people in our criminal courts are actually too poor to hire a lawyer. The numbers suggest at least 80%, maybe even 90% of people who are arrested just simply can't afford a lawyer. And frankly, one of the best ways for judges to figure this out is if the person keeps coming back to court and tells the judge, I can't find a lawyer to represent me. Well, it seems like they're too poor to hire a lawyer, and the judge should consider appointing counsel to represent them in the criminal case.
Time for one more caller. Kylie is with us in Sparta. Kylie, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What'd you want to bring up?
Okay, so I'm probably not going to be popular with this, but I actually think there's two parts to this. First of all, I think that the fines right off the bat should be more expensive. So for instance, instead of a speeding ticket, you know, $170-some, whatever, started out at $1,000 minimum, okay? That's going to deter quite a few people from the behavior, okay? Then when you have that price, then you can then look at what you're talking about today. And done doing like community service, you know, half the fine or whatever.
Kylie, thanks for the call. John Heyer finds for better deterrence, Kylie says.
Well, we've been trying this for a long time in the United States. We've been trying to be tougher on crime. We increase fines, we increase fees, we increase the amount of time people spend in jail. But honestly, all of the research in this area shows that at a certain point, it's not a good deterrent. And so I don't think you can find your way out of the typical traffic infraction.
Kylie, thanks for the call. In our last minute, John, you've been working on these issues of the impact of the legal system on low income defendants and people who get fines and fees. Do you get a sense that people in the court community and the legislature are thinking about these things too?
Well, I think we've sort of settled into this sort of pattern where courts are used to assessing all sorts of fees and fines. And every year the legislature seems to come up with a new additional fine or fee that they can inflict on somebody who's convicted of a crime. And of course, people who are convicted of crimes, they're not popular. And so this is sort of a way of a legislature continually imposing a tax on poor people who don't really have a voice to push back against this. And so I think we really need to have a change in thought about this, because all the research, and as this report shows, much of this debt never goes collected. And in fact, the state spends even more money trying to collect it. So just from an economic perspective, it's not a winner. It's not doing the thing it's supposed to do, which is helping offset the cost of prosecution for these offenses.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's John Gross, Clinical Associate Professor of Law at the UW Law School, Director of the Public Defender Project. We talked to him about the risk of jail time for low-income Wisconsinites who are unable to pay public fines or court fees. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.